Hey, thank you for your goodness and your presence in this house, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing, for what you're going to do. And Lord, we lean into you, Holy Spirit. We thank you. We love you. We worship you. We thank you for covering. We thank you for protection. We thank you for health, God. We thank you. We love you. We worship you. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would anoint my words today. I ask that you would seal it on every person's heart. And we thank you, Lord. We just want more of you. We love you and we honor you in Jesus' holy name. And everybody said amen. So I want to jump back in to this little series that I've been doing. And it's kind of based out of Exodus 15:3. And that scripture, as you know, is this. It says, the Lord is a warrior. Come on. The Lord is a warrior, and the Lord is his name. The Lord is a warrior, and the Lord is his name. Say, the Lord is a warrior.
The Lord is a warrior.
I was just meditating on that, and I heard the Lord whisper something to me. He said, and so are you.
Amen.
Come on. And I just want to speak that over each and every one of you this morning, and so are you. The Lord, our King, our God, is a warrior, and he speaks over you this morning, and so are you. You are his warrior. You are ready for battle. Come on. And the enemy knows this, and he tries everything, anything and everything to stop us in our tracks, to stop us, to keep us on the defense and to out of offense and out of taking the land. Come on, but we were born to take the land. Can you say amen? We are Joshua's and Caleb's. We are not scared. We are not intimidated. We are taking the land. And so the enemy knows this, and so he whispers lies. I'm doing a little bit of repeat to catch everybody up to speed, and then we'll jump into the message. So the enemy tries to keep us on defense. He tries to attack us with very specific lies. And the lies that I have learned from Scripture are Galatians chapter 5, which is the lust of the flesh. And he tries to wave this in our eyes and in front of us so much so that it distracts us. You know, anger, sexual stuff, and everything that it lists in Galatians 5. I encourage you to study it and get that out of us and get the fruit of the Spirit into us. Come on, we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the lust of the flesh is a way that you know, it brings us out of taking the land, and it brings us into a place of shame and condemnation. And if we're walking in shame and condemnation, then the enemy's just punching you like a punching bag, and we feel like we're not taking ground. So that's one way the enemy lies to us. The second way is a spirit of offense, and so we know this to be true. Don't pick up the fence, right? I talked about that. I think a year ago I was preaching with an actual fence in my hands. And it's hard to do life when you're holding a fence. Come on, somebody. So just drop the fence and let's live free. And so many people get tripped up on that. The next thing is discouragement and depression. We see that in Elijah's life. We see it in Timothy's life. Discouragement and depression. And so the enemy wants to work that in. It's a lie. And I've seen it so much in the last 3 years. Anybody else? It's just crazy how much discouragement, anxiety, depression, fear is just running rampant in our culture. And so we have to come against that in Jesus' name. But it's a lie, and we can subtly give in to that thing, and then it puts us in defensive mode. And then the last thing is grieving the Holy Spirit, and that's based out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another. Say, be kind to one another. Hallelujah. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ Jesus forgave you. That's a good word. And the enemy would love for us to be full of bitterness and to be full of wrath, to be full of anger, to be full of evil speaking, But that's how we grieve the Holy Spirit. When we're talking bad about each other, when we're full of bitterness and anger, and that's how we grieve him. And so he's saying, put that away from you and be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted and forgive. Come on, Jesus. That's the way of the cross. And so so these are the lies. You have to expose the root and expose the lies before you can get to God's truth and allow the truth to settle in. And so the last couple of weeks, we've talked about the three ways, or two ways. I'm going to talk about the third today. But two different ways that you can stay in the battle and not just be a punching bag, but win and get through it to the other side. Amen. And so the first week we talked about putting on Ephesians chapter 6, putting on the full armor of God. Come on. We've got to put on the full armor of God. We've got to be prepared for battle. Put it on every day. Ephesians chapter 6. Study it, memorize it, and do it every morning in prayer. Picture yourself putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Guard your heart. Right? The Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Put on the helmet of salvation. Renew your mind daily. Put on the belt of truth. Put on your boots of peace. Come on. Pick up the shield of faith and hold your sword of the Spirit. So this is important stuff that you could do every day of your life. And as you do it, you begin to move into victory and you begin to move out of warfare. And I'm preaching this because this has been one of the most crazy seasons of our life. The last, 5 months. I've walked through a lot of craziness in my Christian life and warfare and devils and all kinds of stuff. But in the last 5 months, it's been just nonstop. And, and so I felt like in the middle of it, about a month ago, the Lord really started speaking to me. And he just said, I have equipped you to win. I have given you everything that you need to get through this. And you need to get out of your pity party. You need to stop crying all your tears and get back into a place of offense.
That's right.
I'm like, but I don't want to. Did you hear what they said? But Lord, but God, you know. He said, no, like, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Get up. Put your boots on. Get out there and fight. Pick up your sword. This is the day of battle. It's not a day to sit on the lazy boy sofa. Come on. God is calling us. He's equipped us. We are ready for this, for such a time as this. Oh, come on. I'm preaching myself happy. So armor of God is the first thing. The second thing, which we talked about last week, is being filled with the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit. This is something we got to have. We got to have. And when we talked about this, Ephesians chapter 5, it says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on, that's a verse we need to memorize. Because I talk to people. People are, it got some crazy beliefs these days. Like, I talk to somebody, and they're telling me how they, like, smoke a bowl and then have, like, the most amazing prayer time. And I'm like, dude. Come on. Like, and then there's like, people are like, no, I had the most amazing vision. I'm like, really? Tell me about it. Well, I took some mushrooms. I'm like, just stop. Like, this is full on deception. People tell me this. Like, you'd be surprised what they tell you. With no conviction. Like, they don't even like think twice. And I'm like, well, how do you get to the point where you feel like that's okay? It's deception. And the same is true. Like, I've seen people, because it says, don't be drunk with wine. I went to a worship service one time in, I won't even say where I was, in a different country, but it was a culture that really embraces alcohol. And this is, I'm not trying to beat you over the head, but this culture, they were all drunk. We were at a worship festival and everybody was drunk. Not in the spirit. And just drinking, holding big pints of beer and raising their hand. And this isn't to beat you up, but it's like, how can you be sharp in the spirit if your mind is all numb? And so he says, don't be drunk with the things of this world, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on, there's no high like the Most High, you know? It's so true. Like, and I've tasted everything the world has to offer, and I'm glad I got out of it at 19, but I did so much drugs, to, you know, and I drank myself into blackouts. I would drink in Mammoth, and I would be at a location at a party, and I would wake up in a different town. There'd be times I'd be on Mono Drive, Lupin, and we would be at a party, and I would wake up on the reservation. I'm like, how the heck did I get? And I'm like wrapping my arms around a toilet. And that is not God's best. And it's happening. And if it's happening in the 90s, you know it's happening right now. Because depression's going through the roof. Fear's going through the roof. Anxiety's going through the roof. And so we need to not be drunk with the things of the world, but be drunk and filled with the Spirit. You could be drunk in the Spirit, and it's beautiful. And so I tasted that. My whole point was, I tasted that, and after I tasted that, I'm like, and then I got like filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm like, it doesn't compare. No. I don't ever want to go back to that, because I've tasted something that's real and something that gives me peace, not just a fake high and makes your worries go away for a couple hours, and then they come back the next morning tenfold. Never satisfies. So, but we are to be filled, and not just be filled, but learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit every day of our life. And that helps you to get out of sticky situations, warfare seasons, seasons where the enemy is just throwing an onslaught, you know, and sometimes it's because we believe one of these lies, and sometimes it's because, you know, we've stepped into witchcraft. We've stepped into some cobwebs, and you got to shake it off. You got to learn how to brush that stuff off. And so be filled and be led by the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then the last thing is James chapter 5. That's what I want to talk about today. James chapter 5. I think this is a really critical and important key to get out of warfare and to get into a victorious place. James chapter 5. Let's turn there. I love the book of James. It's got so much wisdom, so much truth. And I'm just going to read you a few verses here. It says, starting in verse 13, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick." Come on, somebody. "And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." Come on. And then this is where I want to hang out. Verse 16. "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Or King James, "availeth." That's for Andy. I love that you always read King James. It just makes my heart happy. But the words that stand out to me in this little chunk portion of scripture from 13 to 17. There's words that just kind of, I don't know if you read scripture sometimes and words just kind of flash at you, just come alive. And so as I read this, there's certain words that come alive to me, and it's confession, it's sin, it's trespass, and it's prayer. And so I started kind of digging into those and what those look like and what in regards to this particular portion of scripture. And so that's what I want to kind of dig into. And but the first thing I think we need to recognize and realize is that, you know, the enemy loves to keep us in the dark. Can somebody say amen? Amen. He wants to keep you in the dark, and he wants you to stay in a place of fear, in a place of anxiety and depression and shame and condemnation. He wants to keep you in the dark. But you got to turn on the light. And I know I've shared this before. I mean, we all have bug stories, but we were living in Reading, and we had a cute little apartment, and Heather and I had just gotten married, and we were barbecuing out on our little back patio, and we went to bed, and I forgot to turn something off, and I forgot some food on the back patio. Now it's like 11 o'clock at night, so I'm like, oh, I'll go down there, I'll get the stuff. I flip on the light, and I look outside, and there is a sea, literally like a sea of cockroaches. This is like Indiana Jones times a million. Like, they're like crawling on top of each other. I'm like, duh, no. I hate cockroaches. You know, I don't mind stepping on a spider and certain bugs, but the ones that like make a noise, a crunch, like a potato chip or something, it's just like, I just don't like it. And so as soon as you flipped on the light, they like scattered and they went over to my neighbor's yard. Hallelujah. So they were out, like, peace, I'm out. But this is the same is true in the spirit. The enemy wants to keep us in a place, a perpetual place of darkness and shame, where we're never turning the light on. But Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And so when we open up our hearts, open up our spirits, open up our marriages, our families to King Jesus, he doesn't just come in like, oh, humdy hum. Like, he comes in as the light of the world. And he illuminates and he brings light to all the dark places in our heart, in our soul, in our mind, in our relationships. Come on. And darkness flees. And those little spiritual cockroaches flee in the name of Jesus. Come on. And so we want the bugs to scatter out of us, out of our region, out of the Eastern Sierras. We're tired of it. Come on. We want the bugs to scatter in Jesus' name. And so we need to begin to learn how to turn the light on. Say, turn the light on. And so turn the light on. Let the light on in. And so it says, confess your trespasses. And that word trespasses is an interesting word. And you know, and a trespass is not the same as sin. It's not the same as sin. It talks about sin from 13 to 15. If you have sinned, you know, pray for each other and you'll be healed. But a trespass is not the same as a sin. A trespass is a violation of the rights of somebody else. It's a violation of the rights of somebody else. And so it's when we get mad, it's when we do something that causes a brother, a sister to be offended, and we never deal with that. And so it starts as an emotion of anger in that individual's life. And then anger left unchecked and anger left undealt with begins to turn into hatred. And then hatred begins to take a root in an individual. And what does it do? It pulls them out of community, pulls them out of the body, pulls them out of relationship. You can't be in relationship with King Jesus if you have tons of hatred in your heart. It's impossible. And so, Jesus said, if you can't forgive the person that you see, your brother that you see, I cannot forgive you. That's a heavy word. That's Matthew 6:15. If you do not forgive others, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. Whew, let that settle right there. But hatred can take root in an individual, sometimes it's because we've made a mess unintentionally. I think a lot of times in our culture, in church, in families, we do things not because of a malicious spirit, not because of we're like mean people, but sometimes we just unintentionally do things, and sometimes there's expectations or whatever, and somebody gets hurt, and then we just don't deal with it. And then when that's not dealt with, it festers and it grows and it grows and it grows. We need healthy communication. And so I think the way of the Bible is, what is he saying? If there's a trespass, if you have violated the rights of somebody, if you've hurt somebody, you need to clean up your mess. And these two things, like I've preached and I've taught on prayer. And I love the second part of this verse. I've So I've taught this, and I'm just going to hone in on the second half because this is the fun part. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. And I leave out the first whole half of that scripture. But you cannot have effective prayer unless you have effective forgiveness. An effective, I'm sorry. An effective, please forgive me. I've messed up. I'm so sorry for damaging you. I'm so sorry for hurting your heart. I'm so sorry for the things that I've said. Like, come on, this is the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, I mean, he said so much, thank you, Jesus. But he said, bless those who curse you. And so it's not like we wait for the ideal environment, everything to be perfect and everybody to just love us. Like, no, like sometimes people just hate you. They slap you in the face and he said, just give them your other cheek. Well, how many times are we supposed to forgive, Lord? Seven times? Maybe I could do that. Like, this person keeps hurting me, my spouse, my parent, my child. How many times am I supposed to, I can maybe muster up seven times. And Jesus is like, no. How about 70 times seven? He's like, what? That's like 400 and, I mean, math people, 409? That's a lot. I can't forget. And what is he saying? He's not even putting a number on it. He's basically saying like infinity.
Yeah, that's
to infinity and beyond, son. you just keep on forgiving. And then they're going to hurt you. And then you forgive them again. And it's not, it seems like not fair, but that's how you clean your heart. You keep a heart that's clean. And we have to live free. So sometimes we have done wrong things to people, and we need to clean up that mess. And sometimes it's the wrong that has been done to us. And so sometimes people have hurt you, and people have said things, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your workplace. Sometimes mean words can fly in the workplace, and people can hurt each other. And so if it's been done to you, we have to forgive. So clean up your messes and live a life of forgiveness. And then we begin to step into the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Can you say amen? And a lot of times this is hard. This is not an easy road. In the kingdom of God and the right path, the path of Jesus is not an easy path. And the path of forgiveness and the path of humility, it's not easy, but it's good. And if we will walk on this, like the grace of God will come upon your life, the goodness of God, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart in Jesus Christ. And so we have to lean into this path, even though it is the path that is not taken by a lot of people. Why? Because our culture says, get even. If they punch you in the face, punch them twice and give them an uppercut. You know, it's like, right? It's like, it's get back and fight harder. And I was watching a boxing match last night, and this little Latino guy, he just wouldn't quit. And he just stayed in the fight. He kept getting, you know, punch after punch and ribs and face. I mean, he got these just clocked to the face. Like so many times I'm like, I'd be out. But he just kept going because he wants to win. And that's what our culture says. Like you get punched, you punch harder. You punch faster. You go in for the kill. But that's not the way of the kingdom. It's the upside down kingdom, right? And but it's good. It's good. Say it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. But a lot of times it's hard to do this. And so we keep hurt and we keep unforgiveness and even unconfessed sin sometimes or trespasses. We just hold them in our heart and we don't want to deal with it. And anything that has been unconfessed and any trespass that we squeeze down and we push down into the bottom of our heart, it begins to undermine our body and it begins to undermine our soul. And it can actually cause physical illness in you. When we have unforgiveness and bitterness and sin deep in us that we are unwilling to let go, unwilling to bring into the light, let Jesus be the light. If we're unwilling, then it will compromise you. It'll compromise your mental health. It'll compromise your physical body. You can begin to suffer from all kinds of sickness, all kinds of mental health diseases. And it's just, Get it into the light. It's the one-step program, as Bill Johnson says, out of darkness into light. Come on, somebody. And, you know, and sometimes it's, we see that confession and bringing things into the light, when a person has been trapped in a place of mental anguish, physical sickness, bringing things into the light will actually heal their body. I've seen it. And I'll share this one testimony. This is a good one. I was in, as I was a missionary, we were living, at one point we were living, Sean and I, we lived with these ex-prisoners. And we had teenagers. And so these were all young kids that had, one of them murdered a couple of people, burglars, you know, lived on the streets. They were just rough kids. But when we would do youth ministry in the prisons, we just saw so much hope in them and so much light in them. And that God did too. And so we're like, hey, like, we're going to start this house, and its house is going to be called the Freedom House. And we believe that you can be free in Jesus. And so we know that if you get out of prison, you're just going to be on the streets. And so why don't you come and live with us? And so we had just a 2 or 3 bedroom apartment. And so we just filled it up with Mongolian kids. And we just discipled them and loved on them. And they chased us around with knives sometimes. And they screamed at us and they cussed at us in Mongolian, which was kind of cool that I didn't know the cuss words in Mongolian. So I'm like, I didn't learn that part, but I could tell the spirit, you know, this doesn't feel holy. But it was a crazy season, but we begin to see so much breakthrough, so much healing, so much love and life, and just so much fruit came out of that season in these young boys' lives. But there was this one particular moment where one of the boys, he began to get mixed up with the wrong crowd again. And he started hanging out with this little Mongolian street gang, and they convinced him to rob us and to you know, burglarize the house and to take everything. And so he knew our routine, and so we went to church. It was Sunday. We went to church a couple times, usually preach in the morning and then go to an afternoon session with the Mongolians. And so we were going to an afternoon session, and we took the Mongolians with us, and this one, he was like, I don't know. He left. Something was going on. He just wasn't home. He said he was going to go visit his mom or something. And anyway, as we're at church, the place just totally gets vandalized and broken into, and they steal everything. And our laptops, our safe that had our money, and our clothes, our iron. Come on. Like, that was low. Everything, like bananas, like, I just got a care package from America, which was like gold when you get a care package when you're overseas. You know, it was like DVDs, Red Vines, like all the stuff you can't find overseas. Steal it all. I stole everything. All our cash and our video cameras and just everything of any value. And I was so mad. And I knew who did it. I knew it was this young guy. And I was so bitter and I was so offended in my heart that somebody that I loved and that I had believed in and poured my heart into would do this and betray us and betray our trust. And I just had this anger festering in me, this unforgiveness, this bitterness, and I just didn't want, I wanted him to suffer, really. Like, the more I wouldn't release it. And I was just mad, you know, and people that from this church had donated money so I could like buy a camera and a video camera and a laptop so I could, you know, film stuff out there, and it was all gone in an instant. So I was just mad. And one time, just a couple months into it, I hear that he got arrested, and he is in prison. He was in men's prison. He's like 18, 19 at this point. And he's in men's prison, and I'm praying, and the Lord just really begins to work on my heart, and I just begin to feel like the Holy Spirit all over me, and I just feel like I need to really forgive him. And so I just stayed in prayer, and I just kept blessing him and praying for him until my heart really meant it, until I really, like, 'cause we could say, oh, Lord, bless him, God fill them, but we don't really mean it. And so I had to just hang out in prayer and pray this way until my mind caught up with my heart. And then I started fully forgiving him and just forgiving him for and getting all this gunk and this filth out of my heart. And I felt free, you know, and I didn't know if I was going to ever see him again or talk to him again, but I was free. I did my part, which was get that out of me. And I knew if I was going to encounter him, I would forgive him in person. But so time goes by and all of a sudden I get a letter. And I saw him. Actually, this was the thing. So somebody went to go visit him, and they took a picture of him in jail, in prison. And it was like a little group picture. And he looked horrible. Like, he looked so skinny and just awful. Like, he was just going through it. And just mental stuff. And he was, like, on some kind of medication at this point and just looked awful. And so he writes me a couple months after I forgive him in prayer. I get a letter in the mail and just fully like just saying, hey, I already knew he did everything, but I did all that and I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. You know, I love you guys and I made bad decisions. And he was just like just pouring his heart out and begging for forgiveness. And I got to see him a year after that and he looked amazing, like fully loving the Lord. He's fully restored. Has a wife and kids now. Like, God has totally done an amazing work in his life, but he had to clean up his mess. He had to do something that was hard to do and come and say, please forgive me. And there's so many elements to that story that caused, like, trauma in my own life. You know, when we called the police, and that's kind of traumatic in other nations. So I remember this is just a long story. I'm going to try to wrap it up, but it's just kind of fun. We called the police because everything had just been stolen. And at first, we didn't know who did it. And so the police come. And the police in Mongolia, for 75 years, they were trained under KGB and Mongolia and Russia. And so they burst into the place like KGB soldiers. But the main guy, he's like got this KGB kind of attitude, but he kind of like is like kind of looking like Marlon Brando in Casablanca. He has this long coat and this like rim hat, and he has a cigar even. I'm like, what in the world? And he corners me into a room and he's interrogating me. And, like, just calling me all kinds of names, and you stupid American, you idiot, all this stuff, and how could you live with these boys? They're going to cut your head off, and just going off on me, making me feel like I'm the criminal, and making our translators and all the other people in the house just fully cry, and it was, like, crazy. And so I'm like, gosh, like, I need inner healing from talking to the police officers. But anyway, I was able to fully forgive and release that situation. And then he was able to say, I'm sorry, clean up his mess. And I saw healing and transformation happen. And so sometimes it's not that extreme, but we've made messes in people's hearts and we've made messes in some relationships and some friendships that we care about from previous seasons. And the best thing to do is to clean it up. We don't want to violate somebody else's heart. And anytime we hold on to anger and we hold on to offense, we hold on to bitterness, we realize that many times they're free and we're the ones in the prison. And we're just like, our heart is hurting and we can't get out of this. We're like, why can't I get free? And, you know, and I've seen it. I've seen it again and again and again. You know, we had our 50th anniversary. Obviously, it's so great, and we did the worship, and we did the Jubilee thing, and it was beautiful. But I remember it was I forget which event it was at, but this guy comes up to me. He said, "This is Church of the Mountain?" I'm like, "Yeah." "This is for the 50th anniversary?" "Yeah." He's like, "Well, can I just tell you something?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, sure." "I hate that church." And he just starts like blowing, like going off of me. He's like, "In 1981." And he just like unloads on me for all this hurt and stuff that happened to him in the 80s when the church went through a split and it was a horrible time. And he's carried that for decades. So mad, so just angry, and there was like just puking all over me. And I'm like, well, I'm so sorry. And I ask you, please, like on behalf of the leaders at that time, I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for, you know, mercy. Like, but this is a new day. Like, you got to move on and forgive and forget. And but it's just like I see it constantly. And you do too. You know, it's happened in this church, in this region, again and again. That was 1981 or 82, that first church split. But we know that in 2010, there was a horrible church split here that really wreaked havoc in a lot of families. And I've seen people come through that on the other side with so much hope and restoration. And then I've seen people hold on to grudges. And I've talked to people right in this community that refuse to forgive certain individuals. And, you know, like people that are mad at Pastor Eric, for example. And I'm like, he is in heaven. He is with Jesus. Like, you need to forgive and you need to move on. Because he's in glory. Like, he's dancing and, you know, doing his thing. And we're in prison not enjoying our best life. And so, like, I'm like trying to encourage people. I just see it again and again. And it's just, it's not just here. It's everywhere. I encountered it in Orange County. I'm off my notes, but just track with me for a minute. And Patrick, you can come up because it's almost 12. But in Orange County, I was a part of an amazing church. And the Bible College I went to, and ended up going through the church part, ended up going through a horrible church split because the leader made some bad decisions. And but I didn't go there for a man. I went there because the Holy Spirit led me. And so I knew I was supposed to finish the course and finish the race and go and ultimately end up going to Mongolia. But so that was 2002 that happened. I bump into people 10 years later, 15 years later, still mad. Mad as a hornet. Won't forget it. Won't drop it. And it keeps them from going forward in their ministry, in their calling. Because if you hold on to unforgiveness, how can you be effective in ministry if you have so much unforgiveness, a root of unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart? You cannot be used by the Holy Spirit. Come on. The power of the Spirit can't flow if there's a spirit of offense in us. If we're grieving the Holy Spirit, we can't have the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a good word. And so Jesus said, forgive people 70 times 7. That's Matthew 18, if you're taking notes, Matthew 18, 21 and 22. And we need to learn to walk the life of forgiveness, to walk the life of humility. And there's going to be opportunities to get mad. There's going to be opportunities to get hurt all the time, you know, in your marriage, in work, in ministry. Like, there's so many opportunities to get offended. I've been offended. We've been pastoring for 9 years now, and I cannot say, I wish I could say it's been offense-free, but it is not. And there's always little things, and even like when you feel like you're doing good, then like something out of left field comes, like somebody with just the weirdest complaint, and you're like, and then you just chew on it and you stew on it, and then it begins to get in your heart. You're like, what the heck? And so just don't give into that, right? And the way that I feel like we can overcome that and we can be free of that is by doing some wonderful scriptural things. And the first thing is found in Psalm 139, 23 and 24. And it's this, Lord, search my heart and see if there is any wicked way in me. What am I doing? What are we doing when we pray like that? You're taking moral inventory. You're saying, Holy Spirit, you know all things. And so shine your light. If there's an area of darkness in me, if there's hidden things in me, if there's anger in me, if there's pride in me, if there's a judgmental spirit in me, I just want the light of the world to shine, and I want these cockroaches to flee. So we begin to take moral inventory. And this isn't always easy, because if you ask the Holy Spirit, He will show you. And so I would encourage you to do this and get a journal and begin to write things down. The things that he's showing you, begin to write them down. And that's the second part, is you begin to own it. Whatever he shows you. If the devil is shaming you and condemning you, you just bind that and kick it out in Jesus' name. That we don't own that. But the things that the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, let's work on this. Hey, this thing is holding you back from absolute freedom. And you begin to write it down. Then you begin to own. We own our stuff. Accept what the Holy Spirit is showing us. Hallelujah. And then we do what the Bible says. We ask for forgiveness. We clean up our mess. We ask for forgiveness, or we forgive. Because we're usually on one of those ends. We need to receive forgiveness, or we need to give forgiveness. But don't withhold. So make a moral inventory, own your stuff, ask for forgiveness, or forgive. And we have to do this. So close your eyes with me. If you've been around here for any length of time, you'll know that I use National Geographic as some examples, Shark Week. But I love watching these shows, and the Lord always seems to speak to me when I watch these Animal Planet shows and safaris in Africa. And I see the lions waiting for this one injured zebra, gazelle, something, and it waits to pounce on this thing, and it begins to attack. And sometimes, if they're lucky, sometimes that little animal will break free. It'll break free from the grip and from the teeth of this predator to fight another day. And the thing that is interesting, because if you watch it enough, you'll see sometimes this animal that gets attacked by something, it tries to just go on with its business and just pretending that nothing's wrong, but it's bleeding profusely. It's not the same as it once was. And all of a sudden it begins to invite different kinds of predators, and they begin to attack and kill it. So the very thing that was taking it out at first doesn't do it, but then another thing comes and whips its butt. And this happens so much in the body of Christ. We get hit by something, and our hearts are bleeding, and we are traumatized. And instead of getting whole, and instead of getting healthy, instead of coming to Jesus and coming to the person that wronged us, we just go out and carry on, all the while inviting more spirits to terrorize and to destroy us. But the thing that is so beautiful, and this is what I want to say, is sometimes you also see the same ones that get attacked, they don't try to go out on their own. They stay in the middle of the pack. They stay in the middle of the herd of those animals. And there is protection in numbers. There's protection in community. There's protection in family. Do not forsake the gathering of the brethren, right? And so, as I've been just praying over this last couple weeks and reminding myself of the revelation of the Lord is a warrior, I feel like it's time to get unstuck. I feel like a lot of us have been stuck in a rut, stuck in the mud, and it's time to get unstuck. I was driving a truck, this was about 20 years ago, had a little pickup truck, and it was an old 90s pickup truck, and you had four-wheel drive, but in order to get the four-wheel drive, you had to lock the hubcaps. Yes. And then pop it into four-wheel drive. And so I was on the backside of Crowley, and it had been just rained so much, and I ended up getting stuck in the mud. And I'm like, no problem, it's four-wheel drive. and I pop it, and I totally forgot about the hubcaps, and so I pop it into four-wheel drive, and I'm trying to do my thing, but my tires are just spinning, and I'm going absolutely nowhere. And somebody says, hey, isn't this an older one? Like, you have to do the hubcaps. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I totally forgot. I do the hubcaps, and then I pop it back in, and boom, I get out of that mess in an instant. And the Lord was just reminding me of that this last week. And many times we know the truth, but we're not applying it. We know the right thing to do somewhere in our heart, but we're not applying it. Faith without action, faith without works is dead. And so it's not just knowing the right thing, it's doing the right thing and activating the thing that will get you out of the mess. And so I feel like we're in a season, we're in a time, a moment in time right now where God is saying, I want you to get out of this mess. And sometimes we've been in this mess so long that it feels like our car, so to speak, our life is just, it's not even, our tires aren't even covered. It's like our whole car is covered in mud and we don't know how to get out. And I just want to offer you a rope today. I want to offer you a way out today. This is your day of freedom. This is your day of getting pulled out of the mess, getting pulled out of the muck and the mire, getting pulled out of disastrous situations. That God will never leave you drowning. He always makes a way of escape. Hallelujah. And so we're going to do a couple things. We're going to worship in a second. But I just felt, keep your eyes closed. You can stand with me if you would. I'm coming in for a landing. But I felt like we're supposed to do two things specifically. First thing, as Patrick just kind of strums, I want you to pray with me. And I felt like there was things, there's been things that have been attacking our minds, our spirits, our hearts, our families. And we're just going to break those things, break agreement with those right now. Whatever we've been coming into agreement with that is not the Holy Spirit, we're going to break it in the name of Jesus. And so I'm just going to list off a bunch of things that I wrote down, tons of things. And if that is resonating with where you are, I just want you to begin to call that by name and just begin to pray in your own words and just bind that thing and cancel that, the agreement with that thing, cancel the authority of that thing in your life. And we're going to get pulled out of the mud. You're going to get pulled out. This is the Holy Spirit giving you a lifeline. So come on, come on. Just stand to your feet. Close your eyes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, King Jesus, that you're here. Thank you, God, for the power of the Spirit. Thank you that no witchcraft in hell can overcome God's church. And so, yeah, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we submit to you, Jesus. It says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And so we do that right now. We submit to King Jesus, and we resist, and we bind the spirit of bitterness, a spirit of unforgiveness, of resentment. We bind it up, of hate, of malice, of envy, of jealousy, of inferiority, of insecurity, of fear, of rejection, of self-hatred, of self-destruction, suicidal spirits, anger, rage, murder, violence, lawlessness, sexual immorality, sexual impurity, adultery, fornication, lust, pornography, all forms of sexual impurity, pride, lying, Jezebel spirit, rebellion, deception, manipulation, control, criticism, being judgmental, arrogance, prejudice, racism, greed, materialism, selfishness, covetousness, selfish ambition, selfishness, depression, worry, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, addiction, alcoholism, drunkenness, drugs, gluttony, legalism, religious spirit, pride, heresy, false doctrine, stealing, slothfulness, laziness, unbelief, rebellion to authority, spirit of guilt, spirit of shame, spirit of embarrassment, spirit of humiliation, sickness or disease, chronic health problems, infirmity, witchcraft, the occult, blasphemy. We break every word curse. We break every spell that has been spoken over our brothers and sisters. We break every generation of curse that's been spoken over our brothers and sisters, over this church. We break it now in Jesus' name. We say collectively, go in Jesus Christ. go in the mighty name of Jesus. Every demonic spirit that has had entrance, that has stuck us, kept us in the mud, we say, go in the mighty name of Jesus. We break its power and we break all agreement with these things that have been keeping us in the mud in Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Now we're just going to worship. We're going to worship our King because he's worthy of the glory, worthy of the praise. And if you feel like you need to come to the altar is open. Maybe you need to come and you need to just get some stuff off your chest to King Jesus. Maybe you need to forgive somebody. Maybe you just need to pray. Whatever it is, maybe you need to repent. The altar is open as we worship King Jesus. And we just want Holy Spirit to come. We want Holy Spirit to fill us. We won't want anything, any other spirit, any other way but Yahweh. Oh, we love you, Jesus, and we thank you for a season and a life of victory. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will heal them of them all. So thank you, King Jesus. Let's worship him. Thank you for freedom, Holy Spirit.